The Michigan Supreme Court has decided some 52 cases this year dealt with judicial misconduct, and we'll see a change on the bench next year. Justice Bridget Mary McCormick was elected to the state's highest court in 2012. Welcome back to Stateside. You have been there for a couple of years now, and I'm just curious as can be if you can pull back the velvet curtain a little bit. What have been things that surprised you about how the Supreme Court operates?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be back here. And thanks for that question. I have to say there's a lot that surprised me. Even though I, as an advocate, practiced in that court, there's still a lot that you don't know because the court operates largely confidentially. So what surprised me the most? I guess the thing that surprised me the most is how collegial and high-functioning this court has been these last 2 years. The numbers kind of show that, but our opinions last term, there were none decided along partisan lines. There were a record number of unanimous opinions. And so in addition to how our collegiality is reflected in our work product, we really like each other and get along.
So that's something that we hear a lot about, you know, how many Republicans there are, how many Democrats are on the bench, how it affects decisions. You're saying that partisan politics doesn't have that much to do with the final product of the Supreme Court.
Certainly doesn't. I mean, you don't have to completely take my word for it because there's this data point in our decisions, even though the media likes to describe our decisions in terms of which party nominated us, about where we landed on the outcomes, but they didn't have a lot to work with last term because we didn't give them any.
I want to talk to you about campaigns. So, you know, I've worked with Rich Robinson. I've talked to Marilyn Kelly, your predecessor on the bench, about campaigns and judicial campaigns in particular. Right now, there's a lot more money being spent on campaign ads for justice candidates from independent sources rather than the campaigns themselves. Often the people behind this money are not known. Many of the justices have expressed some support for change, although not all. What will it take to get dark money out of the Supreme Court justices' election campaigns, or should it be taken out?
Well, I think, you know, there are some points about this very big topic, you know, and there are a gazillion subpoints in it, but there are some points about which I think almost everybody agrees. And the most important one might be the price we pay for the public's perception of how we do our work because of that kind of spending, right? I mean, when you said before, people don't know who funds those campaigns, not only does the public not know? We don't know. You know, so you know, in this last campaign, there were advertisements by interest groups that had nothing to do with, in fact, it's illegal for the candidate campaigns to work together with the interest groups. So the candidates themselves didn't have any control over those ads, probably wouldn't have selected the particular ads that were used. But at the end of all that, the public is left with this sense that we must be working in some kind of way to support the different interest groups that support us. And that's too bad since you know, like I started out this interview, I don't think the data supports that. And I can tell you from my personal experience in the back room, it's not how we work.
So how badly do you think that affects the public's perception of impartiality from the bench?
I mean, from all of the studies I've seen, that it is across the board the case that the public believes that there is more politics than or some politics when there isn't. And I think it has to be the result of this kind of spending in these campaigns. So I think it's too bad. I think it costs us in important ways because, you know, frankly, the court really has this different role in a constitutional democracy than the other branches. We are kind of the honest broker in government, which means we have to, you know, call it straight, even if, you know, we don't like the particular outcome that we're delivering personally. You know, even if we were in the legislature, we might have voted for some different policy. Our job is not to sort all that out, right? We play this different role, and it kind of matters that people understand that and believe that our outcomes are partisan free, and they are. But I worry that sometimes elections undermine that. I mean, in addition to just, I feel like I'm talking just about our opinions, but we have this other big job in administering all the courts of the state. And frankly, you know, most people don't come to the Supreme Court. They go to, you know, when most people I know need a little bit of justice or have a little bit of justice being demanded of them, they're in their local courts, in the district court, the circuit court. But it's the Supreme Court's job to make sure all of that is running well for the public. And frankly, we've done an incredible job, and we can talk about it, on that part of our docket as well. And I think I think that's another piece of, you know, our working together well.
I want to ask you one more thing about this, though, because there's been a task force. They put out a report two and a half years ago making recommendations about how to deal with this campaign issue. Has that done anything except for sit on a shelf or be discussed in legislative hearings? I mean, what can be done to make sure that this problem is dealt with?
So I think some of the recommendations they made, I mean, so they're going to take a lot of movement to get anywhere, but some of them are pretty specific, like getting the party nomination process out of judicial elections. I'm not sure anybody disagrees with that. So if there's a way for the legislature to get that done, I bet there would be pretty broad support for that. That's the kind of thing where if you could just take the parties out of these elections, it would help with this public perception problem, right?
So candidates could still probably get some kind of endorsement, but it wouldn't be the party deciding who the nominee is.
Hopefully they wouldn't, yeah. But at least the parties wouldn't control who the nominee is. Because, I mean, you know how the nomination process works. In both parties, there are all sorts of hoops and hurdles. And, like, who wants that in this branch of government that I said before plays this kind of different and important role?
Richard Bernstein's going to be on the bench. He's the new justice. How might that change things as far as the next term?
Well, in two ways. Number one, we're losing Mike Kavanaugh. And that, I should say first, is heartbreaking to all of us because he has been he will have served 32 years on this court. He's our historian. He's our comedian. He plays a lot of roles that nobody else can play. We all admit it.
And so the justices had a comedian.
We do. He's dry humor. He's perfect just at the right moments. But we're excited to have Richard join us. And we always think that a new voice at the table, especially one bringing sort of a different perspective than the rest of the voices around the table, is good for our institution, just like it's good for any institution. So we are eager to have him join us while a little sad at the same time to be losing Justice Kavanaugh.
Okay. Richard Mary McCormick is Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. Thanks very much for coming in. Thanks for talking candidly with us.
Oh, I appreciate it.